طيب بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وشهر أن نحن الله وحده لا شريك له وشهر أن محمد عبده ورسوله. أما بعد, so let me welcome you to the new quarter and the new addition to the class on علوم الحديث. And this class, what we're talking about in this class right now are weak hadith, which are not acceptable in the Sharia. And because we have some newcomers, we're going to have to review a little bit. But that's okay, because that'll give those old timers a chance to demonstrate, mashallah, how well they have mastered the topic. And also, going over material more than once is a very important step in learning, even though some people, they don't like to do it. They all think they're Ibn Abbas. If they think it once, they've seen it once, they know it. So basically, weak hadith are those hadith that do not reach or do not meet the conditions of acceptability. That makes sense? So basically, we have accepted hadith and we have rejected hadith. But there are five basic conditions for acceptability. So for us to accept hadith on their own, they have to meet five basic conditions, which I'm sure most of the people in the front row have memorized. I'm sure. Number one.
No break in the chain.
Okay, no break in the chain. Number two.
All the narrators are adil.
Okay. All the narrators are people of integrity. Yes.
All narrators are proficient.
Okay, all the narrators are proficient. Okay. When we say all the narrators, that means each and every one of them.
No shadooth.
Does not contradict stronger reports or evidence.
And by that we're referring to the text of the hadith.
Could be either the text or even the chain. In other words, you could have a hadith, for example. You could have a text which contradicts the Quran or contradicts well-known sunnah of the Prophet. Or you could have a text, you could have a hadith with an isnad that is contrary to how everybody else narrated, especially with respect to everyone. For example, all the scholars have passed this down with a broken chain, and it's known that this missing link is really unknown. And then all of a sudden, somebody else comes along and supplies. So that could be. Yes.
Online question. Can you act on a hadith which meets the first three conditions according to the researcher, since it gives us a ghalabat al-dhan, and due to caution he declares only that it's not to be sahih?
Okay, so there's one more condition. But what that question is asking is that if the first three conditions there are met, if those first three conditions are met, then that means that the isnad is sahih. Not the hadith necessarily, but the isnad is sahih. And so this questioner is asking, what if the isnad is sahih, should we, and we don't know about the other two, should we at least act upon it? Should we at least act upon it to be on the safe side, since we at least know that the isnad is sahih? I would say in the absence of any other evidence, well, that might be a safe approach, but it still is not cannot consider sahih hadith until we see it. And the last condition,
no hidden defects.
Okay, contains no hidden defects.
No hidden damaging defects.
And what they mean by that is that sometimes something is narrated in such a way that if you look at it, everything looks good, but when you study it in detail, you find that a mistake has been made. Okay, so those are the five conditions of acceptability. And basically, as we said, that weak hadith are those hadith that do not meet these conditions on their own. Yes.
When they say accuracy, it refers to number three.
Number three, yes. Yes, Bilal says accuracy. Refers to accurate, proficient. Personally, I've never heard of, accuracy to me is like hitting a target, physical. I've never heard it used in a academic sense. That's why I don't use that term. Was his narration accurate? So those are the five conditions for acceptability. And basically, if any one of those conditions is not met, then that hadith on its own is not acceptable. Doesn't have to violate all of them, just violates any of them. And as such, since it just violates any of them, it will not be acceptable. As such, there can be many ways that a hadith can be weak. So, with respect to weak hadith then, problems with respect to chain being broken. And then we also have problems with respect to the integrity of the narrators. And then finally we have problems with respect to, and this time I'll use Bilal's word, problems with respect to the accuracy of the report. So these are, if you look at those five basic conditions for acceptability, problems or when they're not met can really be divided into one of these three categories. Now these three categories can be also further subdivided. Ibn Hibban, when it comes to weak hadith, Ibn Hibban has well over 100 different types of weak hadith. But as Ibn Hajar said, sometimes too fine of a division and ranking is not that helpful. It's better to have more general categories. So for example, problems with respect to the chain being broken. This one though can be broken into two important categories. One category is where the break is obvious, and the other category is where the break is obscure. Not obvious. Where the break is obvious or the break is obscure. So where the break is obvious, basically anyone who has basic understanding of Ulumul Hadith, who the narrators are, and where when they lived and so forth, and who their teachers were and so forth, would be able to recognize when the break is obvious. When the break is obscure, obscurity could be for one of two reasons. Number one, one of the narrators is doing something that makes the break hard to identify.
Do you think narrator is doing something?
So when the break is obscure, sometimes that obscurity is the result of a narrator actually presenting the material in such a way that it kind of hides the fact that there's a narrator missing, that the chain is broken. So sometimes the obscurity is the result of something that a narrator did. Intention, for example. He intentionally did something to hide the fact that the chain is broken. While in other cases, the obscurity is simply the result of us having difficulty noting that these two narrators, for example, never met. When we look at when they lived and where they lived and so forth, it may look like that they actually narrated from one another. And so therefore, it might look like they met from one another and studied from one another, but in reality, maybe they did not. So, in one case, the obscurity here could be intentional. And in the other case, it's our lack of knowledge. It's our weakness. Okay, now each one of these different kinds of weaknesses are going to have kind of different categories to them. So for example, when the break is obvious, so these are, what I'm putting here, numbering under here, are under the category of where the break is obvious. First of them, and a very important one, is what is known as Mursal Hadith. And Mursal Hadith is Shafiq, Mursal Hadith is, see if he's paying attention today or the other day. What is the Mursal Hadith? Or you're in the class.
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to pick on someone who isn't.
The Sahaba is left out.
Okay. So Mursal Hadith is where we have the chain, but between the follower, one of the Tabi'een, and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the name of the Sahabi is missing. And so the chain is broken. The chain is broken, and so therefore it breaks or violates condition number one up here. And so therefore it is considered a weak hadith. It is actually considered, though, the strongest of the weak hadiths. See, that's something that a lot of people aspire to be, right? The strongest of the weak. The Mursal Hadith is the strongest of the weak hadith. So, Ahmed, we're basically doing a review because we have some new... And it's also a chance for the old people to demonstrate their mastery of it. Okay, why is the Mursal Hadith considered to be the strongest of the weak hadiths?
Sahaba is in general considered adala and integrity.
Okay, so the only narrator missing from the chain is one of the Sahaba. And the Sahaba in general, what we know about them is that they are acceptable narrators. So you're missing someone who is an acceptable narrator. So it shouldn't be a big problem, right? Would you accept a Mursal Hadith?
Except that there might be multiple people missing.
If you know it's a Sahaba, then probably we don't care about who Sahaba is.
Which Sahaba, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter which Sahaba. So the only problem with it is that it is possible maybe that more than just the Sahabi is missing, which happens sometimes. One of the Tabi'in could narrate from another one of the Tabi'in, from a Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, from another Sahabi, from a Sahabi. So it could be the case maybe that actually more than just the Sahabi is missing.
But if it's more than the Sahabi, then...
We still call it Mursal because of the way it looks. So that is an example of a weak hadith that in which the chain is broken. What are some of the other ones that we've already gone through?
Munqata'.
Okay. Munqata'. Munqata' means basically, munqata' really means there's a break anywhere. It's really the most generic term. And it basically means that there's a break. That's why it's under this category here of the where the break is obvious. What else?
Mu'adhal.
Okay, mu'adhal again. And that one in Arabic. It would be better to write that one in Arabic than in English. Since we don't have an ayn and we don't have dhal. Mu'adhal. And mu'adhal means?
Two consecutive.
Okay, at least two consecutive narrators are missing in the chain. What else?
Mudallaf.
Mu'allaq. That also has a